Chapter 32. Pavel Marganin, tall and authoritative in his white naval uniform, took a deep breath of the evening air and turned into the ornate lobby of the Borodino restaurant. He gave his name to the maitre d' and followed him to Prevlov's customary table. The captain sat there, reading a thick sheaf of papers, bound in a file folder. His eyes came up briefly and acknowledged Marganin with a bored glance, before they flicked back to the contents of the file. "May I sit down, Captain?" "Unless you wish to place a towel over your arm and clear away the dishes," Prevlov said, still engrossed in his reading. "By all means." Marganin ordered a vodka and waited for Prevlov to initiate the conversation. After nearly 3 full minutes, the captain finally laid the file aside and lit a cigarette. "Tell me, Lieutenant, have you followed the Lorelei current drift expedition?"
"Not in detail. I merely scanned the report before passing it along to your attention."
"A pity," Prevlov said loftily. "Think of it, Lieutenant. A submersible capable of moving 1,500 miles along the ocean floor without surfacing once in almost 2 months. Soviet scientists would do well to be half as imaginative."
"Frankly, sir, I found the report rather dull reading."
"Dull reading, indeed. If you had studied it during one of your rare fits of conscientious dedication, you would have discerned a strange course deviation during the expedition's final days."
"I fail to see a hidden meaning in a simple course change."
"A good intelligence man looks for the hidden meaning in everything, Marganin." Properly rebuked, Marganin nervously checked his watch and stared in the direction of the men's room. "I think we should investigate whatever it is the Americans find so interesting off the Newfoundland Grand Banks," Prevlov continued. "Since that Novaya Zemlya business, I want a close look into every operation undertaken by the National Underwater and Marine Agency beginning 6 months ago. My intuition tells me the Americans are up to something that spells trouble for Mother Russia." Prevlov motioned to a passing waiter and pointed at his empty glass. He leaned back and sighed. "Things are never what they seem, are they? We are in a strange and baffling business when you consider that every comma, every period on a scrap of paper, can possess a vital blueprint to an extraordinary secret. It is the least obvious direction that holds the answers." The waiter came with Prevlov's cognac, and he emptied the glass, swishing the liquor around in his mouth before downing it in one swallow.
"Will you excuse me a moment, sir?"
Prevlov looked up, and Marganin nodded in the direction of the men's room.
"Of course."
Marganin stepped into the high-ceilinged, tiled bathroom and stood in front of the urinal. He was not alone. A pair of feet with the trousers draped about the ankles showed under a toilet stall. He stood there, taking his time, until he heard the toilet flush. Then he moved over to the wash basin and rinsed his hands slowly, watching in the mirror as the same fat man from the park bench hitched up his belt and approached him.
"Pardon me, sailor," the fat man said. "You dropped this on the floor."
He handed Marganin a small envelope. Marganin took it without hesitation and slipped it into his tunic.
"Oh, how careless of me. Thank you."
The fat man then leaned over the basin as Marganin turned away for a towel. "You have explosive information in that envelope," said the fat man softly. "Do not treat it lightly."
"It will be handled delicately,"